We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, everybody, into the south end zone of Kyle Field for the spring break edition of Studio 12. We're kind of playing like in town here. There's nobody in town, so there's no one here at Kyle except for me, Matt Simon. Andrew Monaco is in Nashville. Will Johnson out of town for a few days, well-deserved with the family. So holding down the fort here on campus as spring break is here, but that doesn't mean the athletics stop. As a lot of stuff going on and pretty exciting weekend for Texas A&M with some of the teams having some really nice performances. We're going to do something a little different here today. We're going to bring you some a little bit longer form interviews as we take you through this Wednesday edition here on spring break in Studio 12. We are going to start with men's basketball. What a season for the Aggies. Buzz Williams, if you didn't hear, yesterday was named Associated Press Coach of the Year. Aggies finish the SEC season with 10 wins, and they've got the number 7 seed in the SEC tournament. That gets underway tomorrow. That is where Andrew Monaco is. The Aggies will draw Missouri in round 2. If the Aggies get by the Tigers, they get another set of Tigers, 20th-ranked Auburn, waiting on Friday night, but got to get by Mizzou first. What a night, what an afternoon, I guess is a better way to put it, it was for the Aggies at Reed Arena on Saturday. They take out Arkansas to wrap up the regular season in front of a great crowd, a lot of energy, senior day, just a truly a storybook ending to this season that started off with the Aggies battling through a lot of adversity, sticking together, finding themselves, and just continuing to improve game to game to game. An incredibly well-deserved honor for Buzz and his staff as he was named Coach of the Year, as we told you. So we are going to take you to the post-game show on the Texas A&M Sports Network with Andrew Monaco and Dr. John Thornton talking to Buzz after the win over Arkansas on Saturday. A lot of fun insight here. Always a treat to hear what Buzz has to say after the games. And so here is their interview with the head coach following Saturday's win.
When you see this team play like this, and when you take the longer view of where they've come and where they are, boy, Buzz, this has been an absolute pleasure all season long, not just tonight, but all season long.
Yeah, it's scarred my heart. And I just want to make sure that I process it in the right way so that my interaction with our guys is the appropriate level of wisdom relative to their life, not their game. because the things that have transpired have been really cool relative to the results in basketball. But I think we can't go so fast maybe that we're not paying attention to the lessons that'll help them relative to their life. It's historical in many respects.
I agree with you, and there's one thing about it. You talk about putting your mark on a program. I think it was two plays that basically resonate with me. That's what you have tried to create here, and you absolutely have done it, and it came together. One was Emmanuel Miller saving the ball out of bounds. Oof. Things are, and that and the play, not only him, but the save to Quentin on the ground to get it, and then the bench's reaction, because everybody knows that's what you got to do.
Q, who's on his belly diving for that ball also.
It's in front of you.
I'm looking forward to the pitchers of that. I'm a pitcher freak, and so
– Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I'll text it to you. Those pitchers of that possession will be
– No, I'm telling you, that's your program. Yeah. And I was telling Andrew, you don't just create that. You create that every day in practice. You can't say, I want to do that at that time. No, you got to – can't even think. It's just got
to
happen.
Yeah, it has to be your instinct. That's exactly right. And a myriad of lessons for their life, but how hard you have to try just to have a chance, and how valuable a possession is.
Well, I'll go with that.
A day is, a practice.
Well, how about this, though? Okay, you talk about the game. I mean, it's just bad. That's a good team you're playing. The weapons that they have, the style of play, whatever, to battle and then make the play at halftime, and it wasn't easy. How many times did you tip it? How many times did you get it? How many times did you go back at it? Chuck shoots a three, and how many more tips, and then you end up with a dunk. But that was five guys battling their butts off to get that thing right.
Unbelievable. Yeah, they were I ran off. I guess I was off the court before the half was over. I was a little too excited. But I think that
where'd Coach go? He's celebrating.
I was at the nail hole. I was at the nail hole, and then I kind of lost sorts of where I was and ended up running into the dancers like I was on their team.
No, again, and we're talking about the culmination of so much has gone into this. You talk about having a season in a can or a film that you can refer to for the rest of the program here. You got that.
That's right. This is it. That was one thing we talked about this morning in the film room was of the things that were important to us in this game, the things that we have been preparing for. Are we going to be able to use today's game – to clip it out, and in future years say, this is what it looks like. Because we've done that early in the year with previous teams so that they could see
how themselves it looks. Now.
And then that's exactly right. And Lyle said that, not me, but you could tell as Lyle was saying it that it was resonating with our group. Like, that's right. We need to be the example. And, whew.
See, I guess we'll wrap this up, but I'm gonna do this, and you're going to hate me for it, because there is a sense that you have a little bit of emotion.
Yeah, I'm just trying to process it the right way.
How about this, though? You think about what Josh Nebo and Chuck, you talk about growing, and Mark French, those three guys, how big they were for buy-in for what you're trying to do, and how much better it made them and what they meant to this team. So I'm throwing you that.
Chuck is the least polluted kid I've ever coached. He has no pollution in his soul. He has no pollution in his mouth. He has no pollution in his brain. He's been to three schools. He's been in college 5 years. And he's had four coaching staffs. You can't have more.
That's it.
You can't go to more schools than three.
How many more coaches
and
can
I don't
you have?
I don't think you can have more than four coaching staffs. And even though the stats don't show it, the presence that French has amongst his peers is real. It's not fake.
Right. Mm-mm.
He's not scared to tell the truth. And obviously this transpired long before we arrived, But when he speaks, those guys listen. Not just the returning guys. The new guys followed the old guys on when French speaks. Listen. And I think I don't know if there's like a most changed award, but Nebo wins.
I agree with you totally. That
because he went from living on a different planet to he is involved in the priority of what we're doing per possession to the point that when he fails, we fail. And his ability to be accountable for that, to go from living somewhere else other than College Station to being accountable, like he turned the ball over down the stretch. And, like, as the ball is being advanced to their rim, he's looking at me, "Coach, my bad." And damn. Get your ass back. We'll talk about that later. But, like, he's so willing to be accountable for
right,
that.
Right.
And.
But, you know, I'll tell you what you've done for him, though. I'm telling you. He was be a guy. Can he block shots? Can he run the floor? Can he be a factor? He was all that.
Yeah.
But you and your staff got him where he wanted the ball. He would disappear. Yeah. He used to disappear. He doesn't disappear.
If he didn't get it, he wouldn't call for it.
And
which would drive him crazy.
Yeah, repost. He'll do that.
He's. we will miss him.
Yeah.
We will miss his talent. But we will miss what he covered up for our deficiencies on both ends. Because when he's not out there, in many respects, our deficiencies are multiple.
Right.
And they're glaring. And his talent for sure overcomes some of those. But his willingness to change his mentality
right, and
couple that with his talent.
What a transformation, though.
Two things. Been. Chuck's never going to have to buy another pair of socks, and I hope you like his face because you're going to see him on that culture wall with all the charges.
I think he had two today. Is that right?
I've got him for three, and I was thinking if I missed the fourth one or not.
Yeah. I think that puts him to 28. He may end up winning. I can't remember the number on the wall. Jay Crowder took the most in my career, 29.
Really?
Gotcha.
And,
wow.
Yeah, and Chuck and Jay, Chuck's more polished as far as how he speaks but at that time. But as far as who they are and they care about winning above all else.
That's right.
And they're willing to step to the forefront of when it's time to win, and if it goes good or bad, they have the guts to endure it. And you don't – for sure his number's 28, but for sure you're not in the mix to take 28 charges over the course of 30 games in a defensive style of play that you've never even heard of.
Right, right.
Unless you're wanting to be in the mix – for what matters to winning.
That's a great statement.
Woo!
Great statement.
All right, Andrew Monaco, John Thornton, and the coach, Buzz Williams, following Saturday's victory over Arkansas. Those post-game shows, by the way, are on our podcast, 12thman.com/podcast, or you can search Texas A&M Athletics and look for Studio 12 in your favorite podcast app. You can get those delivered straight to your phone. So we'll have tomorrow night's as well, and hopefully several more on the weekend. The SEC tournament kicks off today, but the Aggies portion will kick off, as we said, tomorrow night. Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, 6 o'clock, Missouri the opponent. The Bud Light tip-off show at 5:30 on our sister station, 1620 WTAW. Best of luck to the Aggies up there in Nashville in that tournament. Just getting underway here on this spring break edition of Studio 12. And when we come back, we are going to hear from our head softball coach, Joe Evans, who had a very thrilling weekend. The results didn't all go the Aggies' way, but A&M with a fight, scrap, and claw type of weekend over at Kentucky. Later on in the show, we'll hear from Cliff Pennington, Aggie baseball volunteer assistant, student assistant, as he is helping out the Aggies in 2020. Will Johnson sat down with him on a podcast, and then we'll wrap the show with an interview with Anna Dramina and Asia Ellison, women's basketball. That one coming to you from Greenville, South Carolina, thanks to our good friend Tom Turbyville, as we'll get a kind of a fun off the court. Anna on the team. Asia just graduated. Last year was her last year on the team, but a really cool interview with two close friends to wrap up this show. Back with more Studio 12 after this here from Kyle Field on The Zone. Welcome back to Kyle Field, the spring break edition of Studio 12. Matt Simon with you here. Texas A&M softball has a game this evening. They play Texas State at 6 o'clock at Davis Diamond, and then they welcome in the Tennessee Lady Vols on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. 6:30 Friday night is the first pitch as SEC play opens here at home for Texas A&M. The Aggies just got back from a trip to 10th-ranked Kentucky. A&M ends up falling in two of the three games, 11-9 loss in the first one, 6-3 victory for the Aggies in the second one. The one I think that will end up being talked about for most of the season is the third one. A&M does lose it 9-8. They were down 9-1 after two innings, and then 9-2 after five innings, and found a way to make it 9-8, and they had an incredible rally at the end, and almost able to come back in that one. And for this young team, it was a tremendous growth moment for them as they try to build this program and continue to move forward. We're going to bring you Joe's post-game interview following Monday night's game with the Kentucky Wildcats. Some really good insight on the program. Here is Joe Evans following that series.
We're really proud of our kids. You know, we got ourselves down in the first two innings. They hit a couple of bombs, give up the unearned runs in the first inning. But I just really love the way our kids fought. You know, that was the message the whole game. I don't care what the score is right now. We're going to show character, and we're going to show fight. And there's no way we're backing down right now. We scored 9 runs in game one. We scored 6 runs in game two to win, and we can score those 9 runs. And, I'm proud of our kids because they didn't quit.
Yeah. Got to ask you about the big grand slam from Kendall Murray. Obviously, as that inning plays out and as you start to try to strategize it, Kendall comes up with 2 outs. Here's a kid that's had very few at-bats.
Yeah.
Doesn't throw away her at-bat. Doesn't go up there like looking for a walk or anything like that. She looks to drop the ball, and man, did she do it.
She sure did. You know, if you get your first collegiate hit, how about a grand slam? Let's just do that. I will say this. The kid, we played her all weekend, and she's had quality at-bats. She hadn't had a hit, but she's had quality ABs. And if you're mature enough to understand that you're getting quality ABs, you don't feel discouraged. You don't take yourself out of it. You just know every at-bat builds on to the next one. And I think that's what you saw there was, you saw a kid didn't feel sorry for herself. She actually, was striking the ball really well. And coming up, just huge in that situation. And all the kids before her to get themselves on base in that fifth inning, I'm thinking, let's scramble here. If we can scramble, at least score a run, then we got 2 more innings to try to make something happen for ourselves. And the fifth inning was huge to be able to get that one run and for us to be able to stay in the game long enough. But really proud of Kendall Murray. And, you want her to come back up. You know, at the end of the game, they got bases loaded, and we've got bases loaded and 2 outs. And, heck, the kid did a great job to take the count to full count. We got runners going, which means we're going to score on any hit. We're going to score twice. And I thought she had a really quality at-bat again at the end.
2 more quick questions here. One, I know dugout energy is a huge thing for you. Has it been better than it was there at the end of this game this season?
No. I mean, our kids were fighting hard for each other. You could tell a difference between these two teams. You know, when I was talking to our kids in that fifth inning, in the sixth inning, in the seventh inning, I said, to me, I see an opponent right now now that looks really tight. And right now we're loose, and we expect to win, and we expect to make things happen. And you can see what our team can do when we relax and get up there. You know, you saw Jordan Campbell make some good adjustments today at the plate and get some big hits. Just the way our dugout, we used almost every single person on that lineup card. We were down to just a couple of kids on that card, and just really proud that our kids would stay in and fight so hard and fight for each other. And the kind of at-bats you saw against with our kids, you know, that's who we are, and our kids need to understand that. We're trying to have our identity. We're making our identity every game, and that's an identity for us, is that we're a team that's going to fight, and we're not going to back down. When Ashley Doherty got out there, you know, you could tell early on she was nervous, there's no question about it. You know, she plunks Vic. I mean, obviously we weren't trying to ear hole that kid. And Ashley, very proud of her to settle in. The kid has really good stuff. The kid is going to help us win a lot of ball games in her career, and really important that she could settle down and get us some big outs, because she got us through some big outs and big situations. And then Peyton McBride, just, man, she's back to true form, and to see her out there in that game just giving us a chance at the end, really important.
Last thing, and I'll let you go. We asked you this before the game, and yes, it's a 1-2 series. Yes, you lost the series, but I think there's no question in my mind that the team that got on the plane in College Station is the one going back is better
yeah.
than the team that got on the plane.
No question about it, Matt. Our kids, this fight right here has to give our kids confidence. It has to let them know that you're never out of the game if you believe in what you're doing, if you can relax and let the game come to you and have confidence that your teammates are going to get it done. And you don't have to be perfect. You know, we didn't need Kendall Potts to be perfect tonight. We needed her to get out there and give her best and understand that we got players who can come step up. And so, we are a better team than we were, and we're learning about ourselves. When I talk about an identity, it's so critical that we know who we are and we know what we're good at. And our team's starting to understand that.
All right, Joe Evans, after the Kentucky series, talking on the radio. All softball, by the way, on our sister station, 97.3 FM, all season long, as you could tune in to those. Aggies tonight, Texas State, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at home. Tennessee Lady Vols coming to town. Hope to have some great crowds out at Davis Diamond this week and weekend for those. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Cliff Pennington of Aggie Baseball. He's back working with the program with Rob Childress and his squad. Will Johnson talked to him, and we'll hear from him next on The Zone. Texas A&M baseball team hitting the road this weekend to face Auburn. Top 15 Auburn Tigers as A&M opens SEC play against the Tigers. A&M will open the SEC play at home next week, Thursday night, against number 5 Ole Miss. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is that series. And so the Aggies, as they push through, had a nice weekend, swept New Mexico State at Bluebell Park. And Will Johnson, as he will do throughout the season, is going to catch up with players and or staff members of this baseball team. Up next is our former major leaguer, former Aggie standout Cliff Pennington, who is back with the program. Will caught up with him on the Aggie Baseball Podcast, which you can get on our official podcast. As we always tell you, download it for free. You can subscribe for free by searching Texas A&M Athletics on your favorite podcast app. Here is a portion of that interview with Penny.
When it comes to a moment when you wore an Aggie uniform, 2004, the regional at Rice, the Ruggiano Grand Slam, winning that regional against the defending national champs, is that the moment?
Yeah, and another part of that too, obviously the Ruggiano Grand Slam, you know, right field, like staying on that ball, hitting it out of the ballpark, ridiculous swing. But the other one too is in that same game was Matt Alexander, he'd been starter here for 3 years and really kind of was coming off the bench a lot that year and stepped up and got a huge hit to, I want to say he either put us up or tied it at the time, but you know, that game, we'll always remember that game. Anytime the guys get together, the former players, like, that's something we talk about. And that's what Coach talks about. The memories are, you know, the moments like that more than they are like, hey, what was your batting average while you were here kind of thing, you know. So it was pretty cool.
After A&M, you've got the dream of the major leagues. But everybody knows what you got to go through before you get to those big league ballparks. Minor league life.
Oof.
How would you describe it for someone who's never been through it?
Well, I mean, it's just a different transition. It's I guess it's kind of like the college life, but without the fun a little bit. You know, I mean, obviously the playing the baseball part's fun, but you're typically living either with a host family as a player when you first get in the minor leagues, or if you are fortunate enough to say, hey, we're going to get an apartment, it's like two-bedroom apartment and five or six players sharing it kind of thing. Everybody's throwing an air mattress down. You got leftover McDonald's in the fridge, and that's what you're snacking on. And so it's not the pretty lifestyle. The bus rides and the travel is it's getting better now than it used to be, but it's definitely not the glamour life you think when you say, oh, I'm going to get to pro baseball. You gotta earn it those first few years. Once you get to about double A, it starts to get a little bit better. But those first couple of years, it's definitely a transition.
So is the first step to getting to the major leagues just survival of those first 2 years, first couple of years in the minor leagues?
100% does. I was actually, so my first half season, I was dating my now wife, but we ended up getting married the next year, and so I was in pro ball in high A, and I was married, and so we were married living with a host family, and it was we had two bedrooms upstairs with like a little common area, kind of game room, I guess you would call it, and my wife and I had one room. There was a player in the game room and two players in the other bedroom, so there was five of us upstairs sharing it, you know, and she was the only girl, so, you know, kind of interesting way to start the married life. And then because she was with me and married, she would travel, and so she would bring my truck around. And so there was routinely that a game would end, and they don't feed you after a game. And it was whenever I left the clubhouse, my wife was waiting with the truck, and whatever number of my teammates could hop in the bed of the truck, they would all hop in the bed, and we would run through the McDonald's or Burger King or whatever was in California, in and out if we could find it. And so we pretty much fed the team that way. So she was kind of the team mom for those years. And it was crazy. So, yeah, if you want to hear some minor league baseball stories, I should probably get her on this podcast.
Cliff Bennington with us on the Aggie Baseball Podcast. So where were you, and what was the reaction to being called up to the major leagues?
We were playing in Vegas, AAA for, I think, the Blue Jays at the time. And yeah, it was crazy. I actually been playing shortstop most of the year, a little bit of second, and came to the ballpark the day before that and was playing third. And there was another guy on the team who was on the roster. I wasn't on the roster, which means you're on the 40 man. It means you can get called up. I had to be added to that. So somebody had to get taken off for me. So this guy was the other middle infielder, and he was going up and down a whole bunch, and he played shortstop too, and came in, and he was playing shortstop that day. And so I wasn't particularly fond of that, you know. That's, you're kind of fighting for spots at that point. And played third base that day, made a couple errors, and didn't go real well. The coach asked me after the game how it was, and I told him, well, you saw it. I mean, I think I got three balls hit to me, and I messed up two of them. So he's like, all right, well, you're playing there again tomorrow. So I was like, okay, well, great. And I wasn't real happy about it, to be honest. And so came in the next day playing third again, didn't get a single ball hit to me. So I didn't even have a chance to make an error, thank goodness. And the manager asked me after the game, he says, hey, well, how'd you feel at third base? And I was like, well, didn't have any actions and didn't make any errors. And he goes, all right, well, let's see how it goes tomorrow in Oakland. You're playing third tomorrow in Oakland. And got sent to the big leagues, playing third base, and had two games under my belt at third, other than the full year that I had here as a freshman at A&M, which was really the experience that I had to rely on, was my college experience, because that was the only real third base I had played.
So essentially your third pro start at third base was your MLB debut.
And I was 1-for-3 on ground balls at the time.
How'd you do in the debut?
I made the plays. I didn't get any hits. We were actually facing Scott Kazmir, which is a Houston kid. That's who we faced that day, and he was throwing like 97 left-handed. So tough first day at the plate, but I made all the plays on defense, and then we kind of rolled from there.
Again, Cliff Pennington, Will Johnson, as the Aggies, it's part of the Aggie Baseball Podcast, a recurring series as Will takes you inside the Aggie Baseball program. You can get that in its entirety on our podcast. Again, search Texas A&M Athletics on your favorite podcast app and subscribe for free today. Aggies back at home next week, Tuesday night at Bluebell Park, and then the Aggies will get Ole Miss Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as they will open SEC play. That is next weekend. This weekend they are in Auburn, and you can listen to every pitch of Aggie baseball right here on the Zone all season long. We're back to wrap up this edition of Studio 12. Got a special interview for you with women's basketball. It's when we return here to Kyle Field on the Zone. All right, wrapping up the spring break edition of Studio 12, coming at you from Kyle Field, turning our attention now to women's basketball. Last week, they were in Greenville, South Carolina for the SEC tournament. They await their postseason fate. It will be decided on Monday as A&M is right on the bubble line to host a first and second round of the NCAA tournament at Reed Arena. That'll be Monday night is when they'll find that answer out. So we go back to last week in Greenville. Our good friend Tom Turbeville, the voice of the Aggies, sat down with Anna Dramina, a member of the team now, Asia Ellison, who graduated her last year, was last year. These two both transferred into the program, close friends, and a really fun interview about a lot of off-the-court stuff with these two. So here is Tom with Anna and Asia. This is last week in Greenville as the Aggies were at the SEC tournament.
Here you are, Asia. You're a gal that grew up in Pennsylvania. You go to Maryland. You transfer to Texas A&M. In 2018. Anna, here you are, a girl from Latvia. Mm-hmm. You go to Colorado State, you transfer to Texas A&M, and you come here in 2018. And you all develop a friendship, very close friendship, because I guess you all have a lot of things in common. Coming to a strange place together, both transferring from other Division I programs. How did this friendship develop?
There's a story to it. I was the second of all the transfers to get here. Sham got here first, so then I got here, and Anna was my roommate, but she wasn't here yet. So the night she flew in, she didn't get in till I would say like probably around 10 p.m. So at that time, Shea and I, we were at the gym shooting. So when we got back, Anna locked me out of the house. So we're like banging on the door and everything, and Anna didn't answer. So I end up having to sleep over Shea's house. So the next morning, we get up. I mind you, I have like no toothbrush. My hair's a mess. So I'm like, I need to get home. So I go and we knock on the door. We're like banging on the door. And still, Anna didn't answer. So I'm like, you know how it is. Like when someone's from another country, like you're like, I didn't know she. So the rumor was Anna didn't speak like English.
Wow.
So yeah, it was she didn't speak English and also she was Russian. That's what I was told.
Yes.
But I knew she was Latvian at this point, but I didn't know how good her, how like well her English was.
Right.
So I looked up on Google Translate how to say open the door in Latvian. And I still remember it till this day because my first Latvian phrase I learned, it's atver durvis. So I was screaming that while Shea was throwing like pebbles at her top window because she was on the top, like the highest floor.
That's why I didn't hear all the knocking. So, in my defense, okay, I would have opened the door, but I just couldn't hear the knock.
So then finally, like maybe I would say after like 15 minutes, the door opens and it was just this beautiful, tall, blonde Anna just smiling so hard. And then she started speaking and her English was like perfect. So yeah, like it was just amazing. Then we like, of course, we interrogate her. We asked her all these questions. And then she ended up being like, you just can't make like assumptions. Like she ended up being like, we ended up being more alike than I anticipated.
Right.
So it was just cool, like, getting to know her. And basically, we became, like, BFFs ever since.
Now, is that the way you remember it all? Did you hear this banging at the door?
The thing is, so I locked the door when I first got there, but I didn't realize that the top lock is only from the inside, right? Like, I just wasn't thinking. I got in so late, you know, long flight. I came from Latvia. Like, I was flying for 24 hours, so I didn't think. I just locked the door. And, yeah, so I was living on the third floor, so that's the thing. That's why I didn't hear all the knocking. And I only opened the door because they were throwing rocks at my window, not because of her Latvian.
Which was pretty good, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you understood when she said, open the door and lock Latvian.
Yeah, I still understand.
Last summer, you all had a great opportunity. You all went with the Aggies to Haiti, and you all were in the Dominican Republic together. And I got to think that trip, not only great memories for you, great service for you, but also strengthened your friendship, too. Talk about what that trip meant to you to the Dominican Republic.
It was so cool. I don't even know where to start. The thing, during the year when we were in season, mm-hmm. our strength and conditioning coach, Tana, she was talking about this opportunity. But she was like, we're going to Dominican for this mission trip, if anybody is interested. And me and Ange was like, ooh, Dominican, like that would be fun, you know, maybe we should go. But honestly, we didn't think of like how big of an impact it's going to have on us. And like, I should just tell them all the cool stuff we did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like just piggybacking off of Anna, like obviously we like knew what was the purpose of the trip, like it being a mission trip. Yeah. But then like, I guess like Anna was saying, like in our approach to going, like we kind of saw it as like that plus like, okay, we're going to Dominican. The DR is like, it's not third world, but it's like a lot more underprivileged, and they don't have as much advanced like technology and stuff as we do here. But it was just crazy because like the people there were so nice. Like they have less than we have here, but here in America we're more stressed, we're more worried about things than they were. And then we were literally, I call it the jungle mountains. I don't really know what the biological term is for this environment, but I call it the jungle mountains because that's literally where we were staying. So we didn't have Wi-Fi, nothing. So like all you did, like all we could do is like talk to one another, and obviously we didn't have a problem with that, but talk to one another and get to know each other more on a deeper level and spiritual level, as well as like the other athletes. So it was just amazing because going through that, like not only did we like help the people in the country or in the DR, but it also helped us like kind of like get closer. It was such like an intimate and just really personal experience. So for us to get to have that together was great. And there was so much that I learned about Anna.
You grew up, I guess, speaking Latvian. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
So how did you learn to speak such great English, and how did that all evolve?
So Latvia is really small. We only have 2 million people, so we have to learn foreign languages in school. Mm-hmm. And in order to graduate, you have to take an exam in a foreign language. So I have been learning English since third grade. But the thing is, it's different when you learn it in school and when you actually get to be in an environment where everything's in English, right? So when I first came to America for like the first 4 months, it was more like yes and no. Mm-hmm. And then like after the four months, when I started to talk, I just couldn't stop. It just takes time to start, and then
and
it's all good.
And picked up on like the lingo too. Like it's not just like the straight proper English that you learn like in school. It's like the colloquialisms, like all that stuff she picked up on. So it's just funny hearing her, you know,
When I first got to Texas and when like I heard my teammates speaking, for the most part I was like, what are they saying? Like I understand the English, but I don't understand what they are saying. So it like took me time to like
and even though Anna was foreign, that was the same way for me too, because you know when you go from state to state, it's like there's different like slang terms. So the stuff they say in Texas is like way different from what they say like up in New Jersey. So like it took me a minute too, like I was like, huh, like
Asia, I want to talk about sort of how you have evolved into where you are now. Going to Maryland, getting your degree there, then coming to Texas A&M, getting your graduate degree, playing 1 year. Obviously, athletics is in your blood. Your mom, Timmy, was a track athlete at Maryland. Your dad, Purvis, number one draft pick in 1989. You came by this naturally, but now you decided that you wanted to be a supermodel, but now you're going to be in my line of work. You're going to be in electronic media. That's what you want to do. Talk about how that all evolved.
Like you said, in the beginning, I always wanted to be a supermodel.
Yeah. So you could still do that, you know. You can do both.
Thank you. So, like, literally, like, I was serious about it. Like, I liked acting too, but I was literally, like, my parents paid for me. Like, they would send me off to New York, and, like, I was doing modeling classes and acting classes. But I don't know, like, I was never pressured by my family to participate in sports, but, like, I'm coming from a sports family, and my sister and brother played sports. So I kind of just felt like the black sheep a little bit, and when I first picked up a basketball, it was in high school. I used to sneak and do it because I was embarrassed about it. And I took my brother's teammate's shoes, who wore a size like 17, and I wore a size like 10. So then finally my dad was just like, Asia, like, if this is what you want to do, then like, do it. And I'm like, okay. And then I end up being like, I wasn't like super skilled, but I end up being a lot more talented than the people who played longer, and then the offers were coming in. So that's how I got into that. But I knew after college, playing in the league was never like a dream for me, but I always loved sports, and obviously I grew up around sports even though I didn't play it. So I really got into like sports broadcasting. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Riga Latvia. I've done a little bit of research on it. Riga Latvia, the largest city in the Baltic states. Mm-hmm. Something like 700,000 people live there, right there on the Baltic Sea. Fascinating history. During World War II, under Nazi Germany rule, but in 1918, declared first independence from Russia. Mm-hmm. Growing up in that city must have been a marvelous education for you, both book-wise and life-wise, too.
Yeah, I learned a lot of history in school, and right. I've really been amazed by it because my family was like directly involved in war, and my mom's grandfather built a house that we still have. When we were renovating the house, we like found money under the ground, and there was like a note what the money is left for.
It was like
during the war. And then we also found like a thing under the stairs where he was hiding when the Russians came to like get him.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so yeah, there is live history back home. And about Riga, I think Latvia is just really underrated. Yeah. Because the architecture that we have there is beautiful.
Right, I've seen pictures.
Yes. Like, if you Google Riga, Latvia, the old town is beautiful, and it looks even better in real life. So, yes, people really should go and see themselves.
I urge everybody to do that. And your family still lives there, right?
Yes, everybody's back home. It's just me.
That's
here.
That's right. But your mom has gotten to visit here, what, a couple of times? She was here just recently. She was also here for the Rice game, right?
Yeah, she was here in November when we right. played Rice in Houston.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My mom travels the world, so she went to Mexico in November, and then I was like, well, Mom, I'm right there. Like, Texas is kind of close to Mexico, so you should come. And she's like, okay, I'm going to come. Because she likes to go to new places, but she has already been to Texas.
Right.
But I'm telling her that this is different. She should come back because I am here, right?
Yeah. When basketball is over for you, what do you want to do? What's the future for Anna Dremene?
I really want to be in aviation. I hope to have my own airline one day. So the future for Anna is in aviation.
And she promised me my own private plane that I'm going to be flying, so I'm very excited for this.
What does Asia Ellison mean to you?
I'm just so happy that I met her. I don't think I could have gone through this if I wouldn't have known her. It just really helps that there's somebody who kind of goes through the same thing and knows your struggles, and she just has an awesome personality. She always knows what to say and how to support you and how to lift you up. So, yes, I'm so happy that this place brought us together. And that's my friend for life.
What does Anna Dremene mean to Asia Ellison?
Anna means everything to me. I mean, like Anna said, I literally probably could not get through, like, the year of being here if it weren't for her. I mean, yeah, like, Anna's just, like, I've never, like, gotten to a team and, like, met a teammate that's, like, become my best friend.
Right.
And Anna just completely understands me. She's accepting because I know, like, I can be crazy. Not everybody's perfect, but Anna's just really accepting of me, and she's just really supportive. And, I mean, anytime when you can be as beautiful as Anna is, but be, like, that beautiful person inside and out, like, that's something that I really, like, look for, like, in a friend, like, someone that's beautiful on the inside and out. And Anna's all those things. I mean, she just, I could go on about why Anna is just perfect in my life.
Well, I want to tell you both, I've been around this program for about 25 years, and I've never seen a friendship like your all's, and so inspiring like your all's friendship is. It is just, it's just wonderful to see. And thank you for sharing that with our radio audience.
Thank you.
Bless you
thank
both.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Good job, Anna.
Yeah, very good. That's Anna Dremene and Asia Ellison.
All right, our thanks to Tom for that one. And again, the Aggie women find out their postseason fate on Monday evening as the field of 64 in the NCAA tournament is revealed. They are 100% in the tournament. The question is just, will they play at Reed Arena next weekend, or will they travel? They're right on that line, so good luck to them as that is revealed next week. All right, well, do it for us here on this Wednesday edition. We will be back with you on Friday with another Studio 12 right here on The Zone.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.